singing has been very beautiful. I think the songs have been well selected, well sung. Praising God, extolling Him, thanking Him for this opportunity. A song that was led about God is so good to us. We don't realize really how good that God really is to us, because He's certainly far beyond anything that we might think or imagine, provided us with so much, spared our lives today that we might come together, we might assemble together. And we've come together for that purpose. On the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached to them. Also, they sung praises, there was prayer, the Lord's Supper, and so forth. All those things, five items of worship, took place. So at this time, we're going to study the Word of God together. I'm going to teach you just a very simple lesson this morning, but it's one that we constantly need to be reminded of. And that is about really what the church is. Aren't we bombarded today with different doctrines, different ideas, different teachings, people denying God, denying the church, denying its essential, and so forth? So this morning I'm just going to take a few simple things, bring them together for you, and I trust that it will help each of us, especially those that might be new in the church, those that might be younger, and even those of us that are older. I've entitled this "The Pictures of the Church." I want to notice, first of all, that the church is the house of God. Now, I'm going to use scripture this morning, and we're going to just stay right with those scriptures and explain them. Paul wrote to Timothy, who was a gospel preacher, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." So the church is pictured to us as of the house of God. He told him that he ought to behave himself. Now, that simply means Timothy's know-how to conduct himself in the management of the church. He's know-how to conduct himself in the church. Now, this is in reference to the instruction which is to give to the members. So he's to know how to instruct the members, how to teach them, how to manage them, and so forth. And so in behaving himself, he does that. Now, it's very important, not only that one that teaches, as Timothy did, but every church member, that we behave ourselves in the proper way, that we know how to conduct ourselves in the church, the management of the church. We need to know that. And, of course, God helps us by giving us wisdom that we might do that. Now, we also know what the instruction that we might give to the members. I ask God all the time to help me anytime I teach, to teach what would help the members. And that's the purpose of the teaching. Now we find on further that he speaks of it as the house of God. Now the spiritual house that is made without hands. Now when we talk about the church this morning, it's not this building, but we're talking about something that's spiritual. And this is something that was not made with hands. Now living God dwells in a living temple. Now, if we're living, God dwells in us because He's a living God. And we find further, it is built of living spiritual stones of men and women. Now, each of us this morning is a stone in that, a spiritual stone in the church. And He points that fact out to us that we are. So it's a temple now. It's built of that. Now, we find further that it's a pillar. Now, the church is a pillar and support of the truth because it preaches the gospel to the world, preserves the gospel, and transmits it from generation to generation. Now, notice here that he said that the church is a pillar and support of the truth. Isn't it wonderful, the great foundation that the church has? Could we have a better foundation than the Word of God? Could we have a better foundation in Christ? Could we have a better foundation in God? Why, certainly not. That's the foundation. And so the church now is built upon that foundation. Now, not only that, we find that it sports the truth because it preaches the gospel of the world. And I've often said, if we don't teach people the truth, who is? If the church don't teach them, who is? If we as his body don't teach them, who is going to teach them? We preserve it. If we don't contend for it, if we don't keep it, if we don't honor it, so forth, who is? The world's not. They're not going to preach it to the world. They're not preserve it. And then it transmits from generation to generation. Now, I don't have any problem with doing something that might be for the better as far as our personally the way we do things or things that are not of doctrine. But I'll tell you, on down through the time, I believe that the early church worship we are here this morning. I believe they come together as we have this morning. I believe they did that. What's wrong with that? Why change that? Man's not been satisfied with that. He's not been content with that. But God was, and it's been preserved, transmitted from generation to generation. And I've been in the church now since 1936. I've gone to church all of my life. And I see the same. Back in those days, we worshiped scripturally as we do today. There was might have been a few things that changed. I think we're better prepared today. I think we come together a lot more knowledge and so forth. But as far as the worship is concerned, and so that'll just be transmitted right on down to the end of time. And that's the way that God wanted that to be. So we find now that, first of all, the church has a picture of it as the house of God. Well, let's notice number two, the church as a kingdom. Now, this is a very familiar past scripture to all children of God. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build whose church? Who's speaking? Christ. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Talking to Peter, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, let's notice here. First of all, it seems clear from the context that Jesus refers to the truth that Peter had confessed. Now, what did Peter confess? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what he had confessed, which was the deity of Jesus. I want you to know that Jesus was divine. He was human, but yet he was divine. In him there was no sin. Now, the truth that Jesus is the Son of God is the most fundamental and basic of all truth to man's redemption. I want you to know that's the most fundamental truth and basic of all truth, that Jesus is the Son of God, is to man's redemption. And if it had not been for that, we could not have been redeemed. So the church is a kingdom here. Now, it seems very clear that this is pointed out. He said, "We'll build." Now, notice, "I will build." It was not built during the days of Abraham. It was not built during the days of John the Baptist. And incidentally, the Baptist church says that it started with John the Baptist. But I want you to know that John points out, this is here in Matthew, the 16th chapter. In the 14th chapter, Herod sent and beheaded John in prison, and John was dead when Christ promised to build a church. How could it start then? They teach that. That's their doctrine. And I want you to know that's false doctrine. Now, I will build my church, nor during the personal ministry of Jesus up to this point. Now, I will build in the future. Now, there's been one or two here in the congregation. They've told me that they're going to build a house. Is it already built? No. I will build. I'm going to build. And that's what Jesus promised here. And so up to this time, it had not been built. So So it was not built during the days of Abraham, John the Baptist, personal ministry of Jesus, and so forth. Now, before this, Jesus spoke of it as the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of God is spoken of here as my church. So it's referred to as a kingdom. And Jesus spoke of it here as my church. Now, here my church refers to the assembly of people who have been called out of the world by the gospel of Christ. That's what the church refers to. It's the assembly of people. Now, we've got people in this city right now, all over this world, and today and earlier, because ahead of us, that are claiming that they're worshiping God, but they claim there's more than one church. They give human names to it. They give all those things to it. But the church is a kingdom, and Jesus Christ is the king. He's the king of that. And so he points out now that refers to assembly of people. It's not just any church. And I've had people so many times to visit, even right here, and I'd invite them back. And they'd say, well, we're looking around. Now notice this closely. We're looking around. We're visiting different churches. And when we find one we like, that's where we're going to go. Not one that Christ is head of, not the one he's king of, the one we like. You see the problem? You see the problem? And I think this is worthy of emphasis all the time. And we're being reminded of that. And so we find that the church refers to the assembly. Now, let's notice further. Keys. He said, now, I'm going to give thee keys. We all know what keys is. Here's keys. Going to give thee keys. Now, this is another way of saying, I will give thee the terms or conditions of admitting people into the church. Isn't that wonderful? Do you know he gives the terms how people can come in? I can't join the church. He gives me terms how what I've got to do to come in the church. I don't come in on my own. I don't use my own key. I've got several keys there, and there's only one that'll fit that door out yonder. And I've caught myself even at home sticking the wrong key in there. And I've got one key, that my garage door, it'll fit in there, but it won't open it. It'll fit in the door inside the house. It'll open it. And then vice versa with another key. It'll open that, won't open this. But Jesus said, I'm going to give the key to thee, and I will give thee the terms or conditions of admitting people to church. And I want to tell you something, folks. When a person don't obey from the heart that form of doctrine, that is by believing, repenting, making good confession, and being baptized, the Lord does not add him to the church. They do not. And I'll tell you what, we can't vote them in either. No, sir, we can't vote them in either. The Lord does that. We don't do that. So the church is giving us kingdom. Now, to the Jews in Acts 2, they were admitted by that. And the very same preacher, Peter, 7 years later approximately, in Acts 10, the Gentiles brought in under the very identical same teaching. Identical. Same thing happened. Everything. So, the church, we see it as a kingdom. All right? Let's notice number three. The church is a flock. 1 Peter 5 and 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. What? When the chief shepherd shall appear. Now the church is a flock. We're a flock. That chief shepherd watches over us. Now follow me closely. We right here. Let's just imagine for a moment. We're sheep. The shepherd. He's guiding us. I take off. I wander off. What does he do? He tries to bring me back. You try to bring me back. Why? I'm part of that flock. I'm part of it. We're all part of it, just like sheep. I've never herded sheep, but I've been around where I've heard people talk about it that did and so forth, and they watch very carefully. And if one goes away, they watch for them. And you know, we're to do that too. We're to be that. And this word right here tells us how to bring them back. Now, let's notice what Jesus said. Jesus is the good shepherd. He said in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Isn't that wonderful? The good shepherd gives a life for his sheep. When a wolf comes, or a dangerous animal, you know what? That shepherd tries to protect those sheep, and he'll defend them. He'll give his life. And that's exactly what Jesus done. He gives his life for his sheep. Why? Because of his love for them. So the church is a flock. Let's notice a little further. Elders are shepherds under Christ. 1 Peter 5:1-2. Follow me. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. I really didn't plan this to mention something about elders this morning like I'm fixing to. What are we doing right now since we are first suggested that we prepare for eldership here? What are we doing? What are you doing? Are you encouraging anybody to be an elder? Are you training yourself to be subjection to elders? Am I? Are we just going to sit here and rock along? I want you to know God, he wanted that. This is part of that flock. This is part of that church. That's part of that kingdom. And the church is a flock. Who do you go to if you want advice? Do you feel like somebody in church can help you? Think about it, folks. I'll tell you what, we need to be working towards eldership here. I don't care whether we can ordain them next Sunday or 10 years from now. Do you encourage it? How many of you young men, don't raise your hands. Have you had anybody in the church come up to you and talk to you about being an elder someday? Have you? Have you? Older men, have you gone to these younger men and encouraged them? Or are you just kind of fighting along because you don't like Brother so-and-so, or you don't want Brother so-and-so, or I can't have my authority, or I can't do all my talking I want to do? Is that right? I'll tell you what, he set in order something here. And I'll tell you what, the church here is a flock. There's got to be a shepherd. There got to be some shepherds. Yes, sir. We need to know who we can go to and who we can find out. Yes, sir. Now, he said, feed that flock and don't do it for money. Don't do it for money. I know there's preachers, especially in the denominational world, they preach for money. Don't kid yourself, because God calls them, and every time he calls them, he gets them to a bigger church and a higher salary. He does it every time. And I'm afraid among the digressive churches, I see it so many times, I see preachers that get called to another church and get a big increased salary and they go to a larger congregation. Yes, sir. What calls them? Old filthy lucre, old money, those things. That's what calls them. But do it because you want to. Do it because you want to. Do it because you love to. Now, Paul gave those elders charge in Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore in yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Don't you get that? Get that statement. The Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I want you to know, if the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, gave us this word, and this word is coming to us, the Holy Ghost also, when a man is qualified, when he's appointed, it's the same as if the Holy Ghost had appointed him. Just like this morning, when I preached to you this word, it's the same as the Holy Ghost preaching it to you. I'm not the Holy Ghost, not taking his place, but it has the same effect. Why? Because that's what we're commanded to do. And I'll tell you, that's what we're to do. And I want to say this morning, brethren, I want you men here, I want every one of you that can to qualify, and you young men, I want you to do that. I doubt I see it in my lifetime, but I hope in the day of judgment, if it could be recognized, and you could look at me and say, I thank you for doing that. Yes, sir. I want to tell you something. We need to be working towards eldership. We need to be. We need to be talking it. No, when I mentioned the eldership, I didn't intend to point anybody right away. I didn't intend to run over anybody, and still don't. And if I ever point anybody, it'll be with the consent of the congregation. But we need to be thinking toward that end. We've thought enough on the first principle. We've thought enough about not forsaking the assembly, all those things. We need to go on to deeper things, as Paul told the church to do. He said, you go on to deeper things. And men need to be training themselves in order that they might do it. And I want you to know, he purchased this church with his own blood. Well, let's go further. The church as a bride? We've got a husband, folks. A bride? We're dead to that law. We're married to Christ. Read it. Romans 7:4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. I want you to know the church is the bride of Christ. Men, husbands, what do you think of your bride, your wife? Wife, what do you think of your husband? What do you think of him? Church members, what do you think of Christ over us? Are we to be in submission to him? The wife says, or the husband says to the wife, on account of this, we will do so and so. She says, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. You just go your way, I'll go my way. Is that what we as children of God do? Do we tell Christ, you just go your way, we'll do it our way? I want you to know, brethren, we've become dead to the law. That's talking about the law of Moses. That's talking about the old law. And young people and all, that's the reason that we're not under that law. We believe those principles apply, all the good teachings apply as far as that part goes, but we're not under that law, and that's the reason he tells us that we are not married to that law. We are dead to that law, and it's by the body of Christ, and that we should be married to another. And when we come out of sin, we're not married to Satan no more. We're married to Christ. We're just different people, folks. We're just different people. We've got a husband. And I'll tell you what. Every time that I go out and serve Satan in my personal life, I betray my wife. Or she does. And every time we go out of the church and we leave the church, we do it. And you know what people say? Oh, it's my business. I can do what I want to. I don't have to go. That's just your part. But God's part is, you do. And so it is. Now, Notice the degree of Christ's love for his bride. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. What? He gave himself for it. Would you die for your wife? Would you? That's how much Christ's love for the church. Let's notice on. The church should seek to be a spotless bride, that he might present himself a glorious church, not having spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I want to tell you something, folks. When we get up here, and when I get up here, and I preach against sin, and I preach against worldly things, I preach against those spots, those wrinkles, those things there, it's because that we're to be spotless. We're to be spotless. I've had people that want to argue me, oh, it's all right to just take a little nip of whiskey or beer. It is. Oh, it's all right to go out here and, just kind of do this, that, and other. No. That's a spot. That's just a spot. Yes, sir. We're not to do that. Abstain from all appearance evil. We're different people. And he said that he might present himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but to be holy and without blemish. Yes, sir. That's what the church is. And I want you to know it is presented as a bride. Well, let's move right on. The church is a body, and it put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullest him that filleth all in all. Now, he points out here that he's the head of the church. Now, in that church, there are many members, just like right here, but one body. That's what the church is. Many members, but one body. And so he points that out in 1 Corinthians 12 here and verse 20. Now, many members with different offices. Don't you notice that? For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. All right? In this congregation, we have many members in one body. All members have not the same office. I'm an evangelist. Have some here as song leaders. I'm not too good of song leaders. Got some here teachers. Some can do other things. Some are good at visiting. All those things. We have different offices. You see the point? There's probably people sitting right under the sound of my voice. If you really knew it, you could go out here and do personal work, and you could probably get more people to church than I can. Why? That's a gift you've got. You can do something. And we've got brethren here that can lead singing. They can lead new songs. And I'm just amazed sometimes how they can do it. I can't do it. I don't have that office, so to speak. But here, there's many members, and all members have not the same office. But I tell you what, when it comes together, don't it make a beautiful voice? Don't it make a beautiful service? What if I had nobody here this morning could lead a song? And we didn't know any songs. What if I didn't have nobody here that could teach, but everybody could sing? You see, we have different offices. I want to tell you something. That little small one's just as good. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's just as good. These ears hear, but they ain't seen. So the least is it. I tell people sometimes that I believe all parts of the body are essential. Of course, people have to have their appendix took out and their tonsils took out. And I have both of mine. I've never had to have them taken out of me for long. I hope not. But you see, they have a part. You know those tonsils play a part? I'm not sure offhand what it is. Those appendix, they have a function. They wouldn't be there. But I'll tell you something. If I lost this arm, that'd really be a hindrance. That'd really be a hindrance. If I lost this eyesight, that'd really be a hindrance. If I lost this hearing or this talk, all those things, that's a hindrance. Now, that's the reason we have all these members. And when one member fails to function and do their part, you really don't realize how much it hurts. You don't really realize how much it hurts. And you really don't realize how important you are to the church. And I want you people to know, and you women and girls and some of the men and so forth that are not able to take certain parts, I want you to know you are very important to that body. You are very important to it. Yes, sir. And you are needed. And don't think that you're not. So it's pointed out as a body. Let's notice again. These members should be of the same mind. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Isn't that wonderful admonition? Isn't that wonderful? Be of the same mind toward another. You know what the world says, and sometimes it creeps into our brotherhood. Oh, we all think differently. We don't have the same mind. I'll tell you what, if we've got the same mind of Christ, we've got the same mind. Oh, we might prefer different cars. Most people think that I don't know any better than buy a Chevrolet because that's all I've driven since 1946, but there's other cars, I know that. But I'm not going to argue about it, but I just like them old Chevrolets. But see the point. But on some of the other things, on this right here, I'm the same mind you are. On what we're doing now, I'm the same mind you are. And the spiritual things, we're the same mind. You see what I'm talking about? Be of the same mind. Mind not high things. I'm not trying to get rich. Don't desire it. Don't want to. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying it's not wrong to have more. Don't misunderstand me. You've heard me say that many times, and I believe it. But it is wrong when it interferes with being of an humble mind, be of low estate, and so forth. I've been preaching for, let me see, 1950, 56 years above. And I've seen a few brethren that used to be as poor as old Job's turkey, if you don't mention that way. And they had a streak of luck, and they were just real good friends to everybody. And they had a streak of luck, and they made money, and they don't know nobody now. Oh, they don't know nobody now. Oh, look what I've done. Look what I've gathered. Look what I've done. You know, the good Lord blessed them. Some of us brethren were talking one time about doing something, and one of these very brethren there, and this fellow was talking about it, and he said, if you'll fly this airline, it's cheaper, and said, you can get a cheaper ticket. And this brother spoke off, that money don't mean nothing. Money don't mean nothing. He'd gain a little money. But I remember the time when he couldn't even pay for an airfare. You see what I'm talking about? Don't let it do you that way, folks. It's all right to have money, but use it wisely. So condescend to men of low conceits. Okay, next. The church is a temple. Know ye not, 1 Corinthians 3:16, that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Ye are the temple of God. Folks, you are the temple of God. You know what? The Spirit of God dwells in you. Can you read that and honestly and consciously go tell people you don't believe Spirit dwells in us? Could you read that and consciously tell people that you don't believe the Spirit dwells in us? You're the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. We know it don't dwell in a miraculous way, and that way it dwells through the Word and so forth. Now, let's notice further here. God shall destroy those who destroy the temple. 1 Corinthians 3:17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple are ye are. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a few who leave ruin behind them like a tornado in their path. I've seen the church torn up by some radical member, some man that wanted all authority, or some woman or something, and it left destruction just like a tornado. And down through the years, folks, many years ago, not many years after the church was started, man was not satisfied with it. And I'll tell you, he tore it up like a tornado. The Catholic Church started, tore it up like a tornado. Denominations come off of that Catholic Church, tore it up like a tornado. Yes, sir. And even today, I want you to know there's churches of Christ that would like to come in this congregation, and if they could, they'd like to tear us asunder because we earnestly contend for the faith. Yes, sir. They're there. I want to tell you something. That's the temple of God. I hope in the day of judgment that I have not torn up a church where I'd be held accountable. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I've stood up for the truth, and I don't mean you don't stand up for the truth. Don't misunderstand me. But I'll tell you what, it don't mean that you tear it up either. Yes. And that's the reason we talk peace. And I appreciate the brethren here that talk peace. And the brethren here talk about how we get along. That's how to get along. We don't talk other stuff. And we're not going to start it either. Okay, let's notice again. One's body, listen right here, is also the temple of the Holy Spirit. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? What? You're not your own. Oh, I can do anything I want to. This body's mine. Have you ever heard that? I've heard that till I was sick of it. This right here belongs to God. I'm going to tell you something. He can take me just right now. I'll tell you, I could fall on the floor dead right now. It don't belong to me. And tells me to take care of it. 1952, when I was told I was diabetic, I could have fell on the floor. I never heard of it in my family. I went home and I told Francis. I could have cried, folks, but I just sat there a little while and I made up my mind. I said, I'm going to live as long as I can. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to keep preaching the gospel. That was in 1952. I was 29 years old, and I sit before you this morning, 84 years old, and I'm still preaching the gospel. I haven't worried about it. And Francis will tell you one thing. I have never complained one time about what I couldn't eat. I've never complained I couldn't have sugar. Yes, sir. But I've been around a lot of diabetics, visiting home lady laying there on the couch complaining everything about couldn't have K-pike punch, blah, 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 blah. and said, Brother Morris said, how can you just go along and just never say anything about it? Said, you just never complain about it. Said, how can you do that? Bless her heart. I couldn't have it. Maybe I done wrong. But I looked over her. I said, if you want to lay on that couch and die, that's you. But I'm not. I'm going to live. And it wasn't long she was up eating. You see what I'm talking about, folks? That's why I tell you. This temple, God gave me something. And I'll tell you what, if I hadn't watched my dad die, I'd been dead years ago. You see the point? I'm preserving this for you. If you've got a problem, take care of it. Okay. Let's go. We have no right over ourselves to dispose either of our body or of any of its members as we may think proper are lawful. We are bound to God, and to Him we are accountable. That's who we're accountable to, is to God. Next, the fact that we are His, purchased, part of His spiritual temple, makes the obligation imperative to concentrate both body and spirit to His service. We've got to do it. Let's get the conclusion. All members should love and appreciate the church. Sinners should obey the gospel and be added to the church. That's how simple it is. Be added to the church. Acts 2:38, then Peter said to them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That still holds true today. Next, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Next, do I have one more? Acts 2:47, and the Lord added church daily such as should be saved. I'll explain about Acts 2:27. What I've done, I put the wrong scripture down, and when I called Nathan yesterday, caught it. Evidently, we had a little miscommunication. I meant for Acts 2:47 instead of 27. So that's my fault. I take all the blame for that. Nathan done a wonderful job. Thank you, Nathan. I appreciate you so much. Folks, that's the lesson this morning. I taught this for several reasons. One main reason, don't let nobody in these people around, just because they look good, they act good, and they seem to be spiritual and everything. Don't give up the one church. Brother, there's just one. Don't let nobody tell you different. They'll try to, and so forth. This morning, you remember that one church? Have you ever obeyed the gospel? Have you heard the word? Do you believe that word? Would you repent? Make a good confession? Be baptized, as all those people done? The Lord led you to church? You'll be there. You have a duty. If you're here this morning, you've been a member of the church. Have you willfully stayed away? Have you willfully forsaken the assembly? Have you done things of public nature that brought shame and reproach upon the church? Why don't you make that right this morning? Why don't you come back? What can you profit by staying out longer? Why don't you come back and just be humble? Just be humble and just say, well, I've sinned. I want God's forgiveness. Prayer is faithful. Won't you come? All stand. All stand.